This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is Rich Mellon, who is a PGMLO assessor, a Somerset County training officer and my mentor. Hello again, Rich.
Hi, Darren.
So we'll start the new bite-sized podcast episodes with Rich's ramblings. And my word, there's a lot of them. Let's talk about prep and prep time. Again, this is another thing that we have covered in the past before, but it can cover so many areas, like the example you're going to give us with your rambling.
Yeah, my ramblings. If you're on the treadmill listening to my ramblings, hopefully this will not drive you to sleep. But what I want referees to think about is their preparation. Mm-hmm. That's the message.
Are you talking physical here, or are you talking mental preparation or time preparation or what?
A bit of everything, really, in terms of preparation. Your mental prep has already started when you've got the appointment, wasn't it?
You know? Friday night.
Yeah, and maybe earlier if some people have not had a game for a few weeks and that they're looking forward to the next one. Yeah. So that preparation is important. In my case, and it's probably not best to talk about myself all the time. However, in this, I'll use the example because I was recently appointed to a game at Aldershot. Mm-hmm. Now, Aldershot is the area where I was born and brought up. As a young lad, and I used to go and watch Aldershot on the terraces there when, I was...
This is when you were a hooligan.
I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far, Dad, but I was much quicker than what I am now, if you know what I mean. I could run quite well. I live in the southwest in Somerset, and so the journey from Bridgewater, where I live, to Aldershot is approximately 2 hours, okay? So knowing that I had to travel to Aldershot on an August bank holiday Saturday...
Ouch.
I needed to make sure I was well prepared for any eventuality.
I'm guessing you took the A303.
I took
Is a major route from coming into the West Country, for those that don't know, but it's a bit of a nightmare road.
Well, I look at the West Country and the beautiful area that we live in, and lots of people over the summer season will visit the West Country because of all the beauty in that's here. There's only two roads that serve the West Country, and that's the M5 and the A303. You come from London direction or you come from the Midlands direction. And so consequently, bearing that in mind, August is always a nice challenge in terms of your own personal prep, from my point of view. But the preparation should be applicable to anybody to factor in potential delays for what, you know, is essential, good preparation before your game. You don't want to arrive there in a hot stupor and a little bit late arrival because it throws everybody out.
Flusters you as well.
Yeah, flusters. And me as an assessor for this occasion, supporting the four guys that are going to do the game, I was very conscious of making sure that I didn't intrude upon their own particular team preparation, their gelling together. So on that Saturday morning, I left at 9:30, for a 3 o'clock kickoff, expecting huge delays on the 303, I arrived in Aldershot on 12 o'clock. So I was happy to be an hour earlier than I anticipated. Mm. But I always try to get the games at 1 o'clock because that's a nice time in which to sort of get to know the lads that I'm going to work with. And on this occasion, I'd only worked with the referee on the one occasion before, never met the other guys, but it was a well worth half an hour extra that I had because I went into the ground and met up with the lads at about 20 to 1. That time was essential to get to know the lads and get to know the meads and see how they were going to work together and everything else like that. So my message to everybody is factor in potential delays. It didn't happen to me on that day, but I was so relaxed and so happy that I'd got there before the dreaded being late. And I hate being late.
Yeah, I hate being late. And, you know, there's times myself when I've got to a game half an hour earlier than I need to be. And I always used to make sure on the county prem that I was there 90 minutes before kickoff. So effectively, there have been occasions where I've got to the game 2 hours before kickoff.
Yeah. Your mood is so much better, isn't
it? Yeah.
You know, you're not miserable because you're being late. You're not growly. You're not thinking.
I start to get a bit jittery. It's just the adrenaline going.
But my message is to everybody is, you know, give yourself good prep time. And I do mean on this occasion, you know, travelling time. If you're going to be delayed, have a look at your routes. If you know there might be a problem, do you know Route B? you know, that type of thing. Just simple things. I mean, it may seem obvious, and I know all my colleagues listening that are in, already using this idea. It's, you know, it's just so obvious, perhaps. But
jump,
you know,
online, check out the weather and travel reports as well, just to see whether the roads are clear or not, because it can make a massive difference.
Yeah.
You know, one little bump on a road, particularly like the A303, will hold you up for hours.
Yeah.
But it's worth doing these
well,
checks, isn't it?
It was normally a 2-hour trip to Aldershot, and I'd done it in 2.5 hours that
That's
day.
Good. For a bank holiday, that's very good.
But I factored in 3.5 hours, yeah. You know, and I was nice and early. So there's the message.
And of course, if you do get there early, you can always listen to a Referee's World podcast. And there's so many of them online for you to choose from now.
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Just go onto iTunes, Referee's World, and search for Referee's World, sorry, or online, refereesworld.co.uk. Of course, we're on Twitter, at Referees World, and Rich has got a nice little stat for us.
Yeah, the last check that I made, we had 2,424 followers.
Wow.
So thank you
that's
very
great,
much,
yeah.
Everybody.
Excellent. Spread the word. If you know a refereeing colleague that's new to us, then let them know the benefits of listening to the podcast, because it does bring you some benefits. It's the new pint-sized size, bite size, whatever you want to call it. We're trying to keep the podcast now down to about 20 minutes thereabouts, so that we can give you more regular episodes, as opposed to having one big lump one every sort of month or 6 weeks or so. And we're trying to sort of whiz through it as fast as we can. And you can listen online, refereesworld.co.uk, search iTunes, as I've already mentioned, for Referees World. Now, our development area this particular episode, we can look at grassroots football. And there's so many areas of grassroots football that we can look at. And let's start with the kickoff. Okay?
Ooh, start at
the kickoff at grassroots level and how it should be.
How that links together. I've just arrived at the ground. We've had a cup of tea.
There you go, see.
And here we are, referee. We're going to go out and do a game. So, here we are, 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock or 10 o'clock, 10:30 on a Sunday morning. So, what's going to happen at kickoff then, Dan?
Kickoff for me is after you've done your initial handshake, which, if in some games it doesn't happen, I know, but all the players are in position. You're in position. You check to make sure that goalkeepers are ready.
Can I ask you a question now?
Go on.
You're on about handshake. Have you ever had to do the respect handshake?
Yes.
How do you do that then? Because I bet there's people out there listening that are going to be introduced to the respect handshake, possibly for the first time as they start off in their refereeing career.
The referees...
How do you go about it?
Okay, I would generally look to do the handshake approximately about 10 minutes before kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then that gives you that little extra time for the players to go out, do the handshake, break off, get into position,
warm up.
Make sure that you've got the correct amount of players on the pitch, on the field of play even,
and then check the nets.
Make sure that all the lines are clearly visible, all the markings are all done. And just do your general pre-match checks.
Yeah.
Just
observation
to make sure
on players' equipment as well.
Absolutely. Mm. Which is obviously part of the... Excuse me, just drop my pad there. Part of your sort of pre-match checks and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that 10 minutes can fly by, because before you know it, you're standing in the centre circle and you're ready to call the team captains. And then have a little chat with the captains and just do the little brief that you would say. Don't give them a verbal 5-minute sort of lecture, because they'll get bored of you and they'll just think you're being pedantic straight away.
They are ready to out the blocks.
That's the time I think, or I would use to try and break the ice a bit. And I would generally say to them, right, let's try and make the game flow. Play to the whistle, please, lads. If there's any problems, I'll come to you first of all. If you can't sort it out, then I'll deal with it. And then I go with the coin.
That's a nice briefing for the captains.
It's very, very simple. Yeah.
Considering you've been out of the game for over a year as an active referee, that's very good memory. Is that good habits then?
It's really weird, because as you know, I have been out of the game for quite a while through work commitments and stuff. The last time I did this, once I got onto the field of play after a good break, it just came back to me like that. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of edging myself now towards getting back on the field to play very soon. But no, that's the first time I've rattled that one off for quite a while.
Well, I primed Dave Steele, chairman of the West Somerset RA, to give you a little bit of a poke to say, come on, get back into the refereeing frame. And I know we've talked about it, because you're going to take some under-18s games.
Yes, under-18s games, probably a couple of women's games as well. Just to sort of fit in around with my work schedule, which is the main reason for...
Yeah, I'm rambling again. Sorry,
you are. Shut up.
Let's
I'm
get,
talking.
Let's get to kickoff.
So we're at the kickoff.
What are you going to be doing at kickoff?
I've done my bit. Chatted with the captains. We've done the toss. They're all happy. Everybody seems to be happy. Keepers, are you okay? Assistants, are you okay? Are we all okay? Let's get on with it.
What's your whistle like to start the game?
Big whistle. Just let people know.
Single
what's
blast.
Going on. Yeah, single
Sharp.
Blast. Bang.
Sharp.
Get out of it.
I'm in charge. Let's get on with it, lads. Let's do the stuff. And off we go. Mm-hmm. What about, let's talk about a quick position. Where would you like to be positioned personally?
Personally, I think I would like to be just slightly behind the team that are kicking off.
Yeah.
So that I can...
What, in the centre circle?
Just on the outside of the centre circle.
Ah, right, to the left.
To the left, yeah. Sort of on the edge of
just
it.
Just trying to get everybody to visualise where you're going to be positioned.
So basically, the chances left. Are they're going to knock it forward in some way.
Yeah.
It basically means that I can rear off in either direction, but I'll be behind the play so I can follow it.
You can go directly behind the left-hand side if the ball comes out to the left, play to the left side, or you can shuffle behind to the right-hand side if the play has gone that direction. So, nice start. Mm. Nice start. What about other things you're looking for at kickoff? Offences. What offences might you have at kickoff?
Offences. You might have somebody throw some abuse at you straight away because they weren't ready to start. A bit of verbal. You might get a...
Come on then, let's tease with that one. Would you take action against a player that's given you a little bit of jip? And it's not banter.
Okay. It depends. It depends what it was. Give me a scenario.
Referee, you're a joke.
Okay, I would make it clearly visible, clearly audible, that I'm coming back to have a word with that person once the ball goes out of play. I don't see the necessity for something like that at this early stage in the game, because I think you'd be laying some feathers for your own nest, but not the feathers that you'd want.
You know, and then other things will lead on from that. Do you know what you're doing? And you know the tune to that, don't you?
What do you mean? Do I know what I'm doing?
You don't know what you're doing.
Come on.
It's been a long time. So, there you are. You're talking about getting a little bit of jip from players at the beginning. Would you take action? Should you take action? I think you need to consider the circumstances, which you've just highlighted. Mm-hmm. But at minimum, you're going to...
and have a word.
Yeah, absolutely. And an open admonishment.
Absolutely. And what I would also do is, at the time that when I'm going to be running near where the captain is, my first opportunity, I would say, I've had a word with that player. Just keep him under control and tell him to button it, okay, before we start. Otherwise, I'm not going to take any jip from him anymore.
What's a common thing that you do when you've blown the whistle? When do you start your watch? Before you've blown the whistle or after you've blown the whistle?
I start about 2 or 3 seconds before a blow.
Why?
Because I want to see the numbers ticking away.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that it's actually working.
So you tick your watch or start your watch.
Start my watch.
And then blow your whistle.
Yeah.
Rather than blow your whistle and then look down and start the watch.
Exactly. Because if you blow the whistle,
you've missed the first challenge of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Nice little bit of advice there, Dad. Well done, mate. what about offences? What offences would you look for and how would you restart and penalise?
Potentially, from a kickoff, you're looking at a potential offside.
No, come on. A little bit.
Depending on
something.
If they're going to. All right, okay.
Much more simple.
A player coming in and slide tackle or something
even
like that.
Even more simpler than that. Offences at kickoff.
Not kicking the ball how it should be done.
Here we go. So the ball has to go forward.
What
would
not
you do
be, not
if
be
it
kicked
didn't
twice
go,
by the same
What would
player?
You do? Oh, hang on a minute. One offence. See, you go. You start off slow and then you speed up and go two or three at a time. So if the ball doesn't go forward, what are you going to do?
Restart.
Okay. So you stop what's going on and say, hey, come on, guys, ball's got to go forward. Yep. Make it known. Communicate your decision. Don't just give a decision and think people know what you're on about. What about then a player touching the ball twice? The same player touching the ball twice before any other player has touched it. What would you do?
Indirect free kick.
Okay.
Oh, I've lost.
Come on then.
Well, quick blow, indirect free kick. But I think, again, it depends on the nature of the game, the two teams involved, etc. I think you're showing yourself to be a bit pedantic if you do that.
But it's the laws of the game.
It's the laws of the game, but you have to use your initiative and you have to
you're
use...
talking about management here now.
Management, game management and all the rest of it. I think if you go down the route of applying the laws at that early stage, I think the players are probably going to be up against you from the word go.
Okay, so directly at start of play, from a kickoff, if he touches the ball twice, you're going to say, hey, I don't like that. We're going to start the game properly.
Yeah.
And that's what you would do. Okay, I don't mind that piece of advice.
Good.
I don't mind it, but didn't say anymore. Okay. There we go.
Anything else on kickoff then you want to drill me on?
No.
I got my mojo back now, see?
You're in the go. You're in the go. We talk about positions.
And we don't do kickoff that often, to be
honest. No, we don't. No. I don't ever recall doing it before. What about the person winning the toss of the coin? What advantage, or no, not advantage, but what happens there?
Okay, whoever wins the toss, I'm just trying to recap how I would do. What I would do is I would, I do my toss.
Let's do this one as a little bit of training. Do you toss the coin? Do you give it to the captains?
Toss the coin, and what I would do is say, away captain, shout when it's in the air. Okay, because then you're kind of psychologically balancing up the advantages because the home team have got the advantage because they're home anyway. So let's balance it up slightly and let the away captain shout whilst it's in the air. I'll catch it and they'll say, right, okay, away team, you've won the toss. What do you want to do? I want to switch.
You're vocal and you're communicating straight away.
So they want to switch. If you want to switch, you switch. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah. So the team winning the toss at the beginning has a choice of which direction they attack.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And so that means then the team who lost the toss kick off beginning in the second half.
Absolutely.
Oh, right, okay. Okay. I just remember stories about, some captains coming up to me, winning the toss and say, we'll kick off second half. And I'm thinking,
never heard that.
Oh, my word. Oh, yeah, I remember getting caught on that a couple of times.
No, I never heard that one.
There's little things that go around. Yeah. They say, if I win the toss, ref, I'll kick off second half.
No, never had that one. It's an interesting one.
Little snippets. But there we go. More rambling. Sorry, Dan.
Yes. No, not a problem. Excellent. So our training debate today was the kickoff. And of course, if there's anything else that we've missed that you would particularly like to discuss on any of these, then get in touch with us through the website, refereesworld.co.uk, or tweet us at refereesworld. Now, our final little bit that we're going to talk about in this particular episode is, and I've lost my... what was it we were going to talk about? I completely lost my piece of paper with it on. Here it is. It's on the floor. Look.
Your pad. Is this...
a pro.
This is a chunky size, bite size.
It's kind of getting a bit in the middle now, isn't it?
Sexy size.
We've done the message of prep. We've done the development area with kickoff. And we were going to touch on some grassroots football, weren't we?
Oh, this was
And the application of law, I think it was.
Yeah.
See, we are prepared, but in an indirect kind of way.
Yeah.
Right, so some development areas, and I think one of the big ones where we're at grassroots level is the controlling of industrial language.
Yeah, we use the term industrial language because some assessors will put that in an assessment. And what they're asking is that there has to be some form of control about players who use offensive, abusive or insulting language.
Because you've got to remember, it's not about... the players on the pitch or the officials on the pitch or the field of play being offended by this. The chances are local parks football, you're going to have kids around, you're going to have families watching and this, that and the other.
It's far more than just in the environment of the game itself. Yeah. It's just beyond the perimeters of the game and those surrounding areas. So, we as referees, we do have responsibilities and obligations to make sure that the application of law is tight. Let me say tidy, because controlling offensive, abusive, insulting language is a real tough challenge for many, many referees. And I put myself in that club as well, where I had to learn how to deal with it. Give me some examples of how you might look at dealing with it there. And let's say the comments to you are mild. Mm-hmm. There is an offensive word used, but you decide on... not the ultimate sanction, but what sanction or what approach, what level of control could you apply?
This, for me, where language is concerned, kind of goes back to the kickoff situation that we talked about just now. One of the things that I would say to the captains as part of my ritual is, please keep your language down, okay, as part of it. We're on the parks. Please try and control or manage the language as much as possible.
Okay. Let me just chip in there, because the more you say to the captains, the more you're likely to put yourself under pressure. So if you say, if your players start swearing, I'm going to send them off. Or if they start swearing, I might send them off. You can't go too far into a chat with the captains, because the players have got a level of expectation.
Oh no, I wouldn't.
Of what's going to happen if certain things go on?
I wouldn't go down that route. By sort of, I would just say as a throwaway, just control the language.
Yeah,
as much. Yeah, as possible.
That's nice. On the first occasion, then the player's a little bit frustrated. He's missed. Let's say he's missed a sitter in front of goal, and he should have done better.
Yeah,
he might. You know, his colleague might have given him a little bit of a tongue lashing by saying, you should have passed to me and used expletives. You know, what I'm asking referees to do, and I think we've done this before as mentor and referee, is that we look to take a level of control whereby we communicate to the players that, look, okay, I understand there's a little bit of frustration, but we cannot let this escalate into offensive, insulting language. If it does, I will take charge and apply the ultimate sanction and dismiss from the field of play. You see, but there are things in between what we've discussed and what we've given them as the ultimate situation. Let's go into those middle sections, Dan.
As you're, as you know, I'm quite vocal when I'm on the field of play anyway, and I will always, if I hear bad language, I will always shout as loud as I can to keep the language down.
Okay.
I think from my experiences, that has helped curb the language on the field of play when I've been doing
it. The image I have at the moment, and I've watched you referee, so I know you don't actually shout aggressively, but the description of shout at players doesn't come across as necessarily good management.
No. I'm not shouting at players. I'm like that individual. Yeah. I'm just as a generalisation.
I'm thinking about
language, please, gents.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing. Because I'm thinking about how this comes across to our listeners as regards there are lots of young referees out there trying to sort of assert themselves in a positive way, and that they think, well, if it works with Darren and Richard Mellon says, yeah, you know, shout at players. That's not what we're actually saying. We're trying to be assertive and boss the situation and stop it from escalating. So the shout is a raised voice, isn't it?
What I would never do is pinpoint a player and raise my voice at them. So because if you swore at me and I replied back and said, any more from that, Mellon? Then you're going in the book or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Next time it happens, you don't do anything. The players will come back to you and say, hang on, you said you were going to book him. And so it's a rod for the own back situation.
Yeah.
So with the language, I try to be as generic as possible. But then when it gets to the level where I have to dismiss, then, okay.
The setting up of we're going into the levels of game management here because we talked about admonishment or a public word with the guy, and then we're going on towards, you know, bringing the captains in. Would you do that on occasions? He said too much, I'm not happy about this, skipper. If he repeats it, I will dismiss.
Yeah,
is that right? Really? But here we are, we're trying to manage a game of football, we're trying to get the players to work with us.
The reason why I would bring a captain into the scene is so that people can see that I'm actually doing something about it. And I'm bringing the captain in.
That's the point.
So that people, because it's all about the communication. If I'm having a chat with a player and then a defender down the far end of the pitch just sees it and doesn't realise what's going on, if they know that I've called the captain in, I've been quite vocal, I've blown the whistle and said, captain, where are you? I want a word now.
Be seen to take control. I like that.
I think it shows a bit of assertiveness.
Yeah, I like that. Be seen to take control. Don't ignore it if it goes on. Even if you have a quiet word for a mild outburst, take some form of control. And if it gets a little bit too loud, make sure you become quite assertive. Pull the player to one side. Make sure you're seen to do it. Use the captain if you think it's appropriate. But finally, if all hell breaks loose and you don't feel that he's not listening, then you have to apply the sanction of dismissal. You know, that's the ultimate thing. And, you know, there are stages in which to approach how you manage this. But dealing with foul language, as it was commonly known in old law, it's insulting, offensive, abusive. It doesn't have to be insulting, offensive, abusive to you, but it could be to somebody else in that environment that you're having a game of football. So think about that. Think about your game management.
And that just about brings us to an end of another bite-sized episode of the Referees World podcast. Don't forget, you can tweet your mates about it. Let them know about it. You can tweet us as well. at Referees World. We're online, refereesworld.co.uk, or search out iTunes, and that's how you can pick us up and listen whenever you want on your device. And we'll speak to you again in the next episode.
The download is complete.